Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of That 80s Child, The Generation Y, and my name is Gabrielle. And today we're going to talk about 80s and 90s board games, specifically the ones that came out in the 80s and 90s, because I know we have iterations that have come out, which I'll go through, and I know that there are games that were from the 30s that, you know, like Monopoly, that had different renditions of it. I mean, it's still evolving as we speak. So these are ones that were specifically put out during those times. So I had originally recorded a previous episode before this one that's gonna get recorded again, and it's for something else. And unfortunately, for whatever reason, my OBS or my microphone decided to be like, I'm not gonna turn on, and my OBS is like, you don't have a microphone. Because the idiot that I am didn't check to see, because you can see the actual volume as I speak. It goes up and down. It shows you right there that it's working or if it's not working. And I'm looking right at it. And I did an entire 45 minutes and I didn't notice. Anyway, so we already talked about Blockbuster nights and having family night for that. And I also, that was the one that didn't record properly. I was talking about family nights again. But this is another for family game night. I don't know if everybody did this. I know that it could be something that everybody did. And do you still do that now? My son and I do. When my mom was able to, we would do that as well. But when I was younger, we would have a family game night, and it would be mostly card games because my dad was very much into card games. He really didn't play board games. I can't even remember if my dad ever actually played a board game with us. And we did play games. It was just, Pokino, if you ever know, it's like a bingo with poker, so you just have the cards that you have to match up, and then you get bingo or not, you have the cards. I actually have to get that again. I always enjoyed that. Actual poker or blackjack, my dad, like I said, or we would play rummy, 500 rummy. And also we had this thing called Tripoli, which that came out actually, I believe when I looked it up, it was like 1936 is when it came out. And it used to have, it was just like a mat that would come out and you would have to match. It's like a poker thing where you had to match the straight, the flush, the three of a kind and stuff like that. But we had like a deluxe edition and that had a plastic turned like, what is that called? A Lazy Susan type of thing where it would turn and you could like put... We would place bets in there, and it would just be pennies. We had, like, so many pennies, to the fact that we had so many pennies in there that when we had to lug it back to wherever it was so heavy because we had all the pennies still in there for when we played it again. I don't have that anymore. I think it broke or something happened, and it got thrown away. Unfortunately, I would like to get a new one. I would need more players than just my son and I, but, yeah. So those were the things that we would play as a family. Well, my dad also loved to do puzzles, and he made a puzzle board. I still have the puzzle board he made. We would have like it would just sit on the kitchen table, or it would be moved when we had dinner, but anytime you would like walk by, just place another one. And then like some nights it would just, you'd have like a half an hour where you just kind of sit and work on. They'd be big puzzles, like not just some little ones, but yeah, he liked to do them too. And we all kind of like helped out with finishing it. These were the games that came out in the 80s that I particularly played. It was Don't Break the Ice. I loved that game. I used to have the original one from the 80s. A lot of the things that I had when I was younger were in our basement, and our basement had a tendency to like to flood because we had copper piping and also well water. We didn't have like a filtration system on it, so it would kill. It would just eat away at the copper piping. We'd have like pinhole leaks every once in a while. So every once in a while, we go downstairs and like, oh look, it's a river in here. So a lot of the stuff that I had that was moved from when I got older and things got packed away, it got ruined from the water damage. But that's okay because you can still get these games. Unfortunately, it's not the OG ones, but that's all right. Trivial Pursuit. I don't have enough people to play Trivial Pursuit. I believe my mom and dad would play that when there were more people. We would have a lot more people come over, but it wasn't something that I played or currently play. And while I do have some random facts in my head, The only quiz things that I do are like Quizzo stuff, and I usually go with my friend. I actually just went to one recently and didn't do too poorly. I actually knew a couple of things, because a lot of these things, especially when it comes to like current music and current things, it's just, you know, some stuff, yes, because there's no help for being out of the loop for certain things, because social media just, it's in your face about stuff anyway. But for the most part, and like, unless it's some random offhanded stuff that I know, it's, yeah, I'm not necessarily the best. I'm not stupid, but, you know, like, I don't know. It's either that or it's because my brain, especially when I want to figure out something, it's there, but it's hard to, like, articulate it or have it come out. I'm like, I know the answer. It's there up. It's up here in this mess, but it just won't like materialize to form words to come out of my and vocalize it. So yeah, sometimes it's like, oh right. And then when somebody says like, yes, I knew that, and like I could have just, you know, people are like, yeah, sure you did. Like I did. It just just didn't make its way out to be actually heard. So Trivial Pursuit, we did actually have one. It was in our basement. That didn't get ruined because it wasn't in one of the boxes. It was sitting on top of something else. Never really played it, like I said. I'm assuming if you had the OG Trivial Pursuit, it would have a lot of these, like, they would have general knowledge things in there, but then it would have, like, current things for the time. So it would have been interesting to see what those questions were and what was prominent at the time. Because I'm assuming the newer ones would have updated questions and stuff like that that go for the times. Guess Who. I loved Guess Who. I absolutely loved it. And we actually got a new Guess Who. And it's not the brand new one where it has all the different, it's like, I think it's like more of like the 90s version. Because if you remember the commercial where the actual cards would talk animated. It's unfortunate that they don't actually do that. But yeah, so Guess Who? My son and I actually play it every once in a while. I know it's like a child's game, but it's still fun. And especially if you're like not wanting to play a really intricate game, because we have a ton. And I'm going to do a second version of this podcast, like not a second version, but a part two. But for more current games, I know it's like not so much nostalgic, but it is, because we have other iterations of ones that we played when we were younger. So it's just the current ones. I want to do a second part, and Bryce is actually going to grace us with his presence with another, like him being on here talking about it, because he loves board games. And we have a crap ton of them, and we get new ones every once in a while when we have a little extra to be like, okay, let's pick one that we want to try. So just, we have a Fallout board game, we also have Scythe, Plunder. So they have like ones that are, they're, it's not just going around a board. We do have that. I think one was called Dragon Throne. That's an awesome one that you are rolling a die, going through the board, and whatever happens, you pull a card and blah blah blah. But there's ones that are so much, like, there's a little bit more intricacy where you're taking, like, if you've ever played Catan, something like that, where you had to get resources and build, take possession of land and stuff like that, and you have to go through and see at the end whoever holds the most land and resources and money and whatever, and has everything, all of the things checked off. So it's, like, a lot more intricate, kind of like a D&D thing, but not, so, yeah. Obviously, everything we play is only for two players, because I don't really, like I said, have friends. We have board game night every once in a while, but it's very rare. So it's just the two of us. So anything that's two player, or if more than two players, we can't play. Like Catan, you have to have three players, which Bryce really wants to play it. He's never played it. He's seen other people play it, but we have not, because you need three players at least. So we'll find somebody eventually. So yeah, I'm going to do a second part. If you're interested in that, check, like, you know, I don't know when I'm going to do it. It's going to be at some point. I have a bunch that are already in the works. I already had one that if I can read lips, I can figure out exactly what I said. I think I deleted it though, because I'm so angry at myself for not paying attention. But anyway, so yeah, Guess Who was great. Mall Madness. So in the 80s is when Mall Madness originally came out. I didn't actually have Mall Madness until the 90s. So I had like the 90s iteration of Mall Madness. But I absolutely, we have one that's a late 90s iteration of it. So it's one of the original ones that we kept, and it kept everything it was in there. So nothing lost and we're good. Mall Madness is awesome. I absolutely love that. And I know that they have a newer one. They probably have changed. I'm assuming now, because the one that I had where it's this like buying CDs and a computer game or a like computer drive. And so there's the prices for some of these things are ridiculous. Like how expensive some of these like CD collections that they said. I'm like, what? So I know that the newer one will have like updated items that would have been bought, because people now, I'm sure kids nowadays would be like, why am I buying this? It's like vintage stuff right over here. You know, groceries, it's just like, here's your egg for $500. That's what the most recent one will have, I'm sure. So yeah, Mall Madness, staple, great game. And it's fun because it's just like, there's a clearance at the department store. I like that game. Taboo, never played it. Seen it so many times. That and like Boulder Dash and all that. Pictionary is another one that I have on here. Pictionary, oh my God. You would lose if I was on your team, because while my mom and my brother can, their artistic capabilities astound me. I cannot draw. Like Bryce says I can draw. I can't draw. I really don't feel like I have that. Maybe if I like honed it and practice it, perhaps, but I'm not anywhere in the league of my mother or my brother. So, yeah. So if you were on my team for Pictionary, here's a stick figure. Here's another stick figure. You would never know the difference between the two. It would be very, very hard to decipher what the heck I'm trying to draw. So yeah, no, that's why I never really played it. Cause like, if I can't draw anything, what's the point? Cause you're never going to win. Cause you never understand what I'm trying to do. Risk. I don't have Risk. And I know that Bryce and I would love to play this. So I think that's something that we have on our list for the next thing to get. I have played it, but it was years and years ago. So I would have to actually go back and remember how to do it. But that's like on the list to go. So I know there's a bazillion more. Like I said, I'm definitely going to do a part two for this, for the 80s and 90s, and then like bringing it forward to what we have now and how games have evolved. I think I kind of want to go into that a little bit more. This right now, it's just like a light nostalgic. Do you remember these games? So during the 80s, because like I said, I was 6 years old in 89. So I wasn't completely sentient, at least in memory, to remember everything that I would play like Chutes and Ladders and Candyland and stuff like that. I can remember playing those things when I was younger, and even like Monopoly and stuff like that. But like I said, those games are much, much older. So, you know, they were just iterations of the time. There was, what was it called? The tower that actually integrated an electronic element to a board game. When I was going through the list, I was like, I never even heard of this. And I kind of want to find it now. I don't know if they have a newer one out, but I kind of want to find the original one if possible. But that game looked pretty cool, the tower. That was in the 80s. So in the 90s, there was... Now, a lot of these for, like, the little kids. So I have, like, Tornado Rex and Gooey Louie, where you had to, like, pull out boogers and stuff. These were things that, like, my brother had gotten for, like, birthdays or Christmas. So, yeah, I would play with him. It's like... But there was this other one where Don't Wake Daddy, remember that? Catan actually came out in the 90s. Didn't play it. I don't know why we didn't, because like, I know my brother was a lot younger. He's 6 years younger than me, so he probably wouldn't have been old enough in the 90s to really like completely understand the full concept of Catan. And my mom, while she absolutely loved to play board games, there was a game that I had gotten that I tried to play with Bryce and her, and it's called House on Haunted Hill or something like that. I forget. That's like a movie and a book, I think, but it's an intricate game, a lot of different things that you have to build the house, and it's a role-playing game, and my mom was just, yeah, And my son was too young at the time because he's like, I don't understand this. And I'm like, yeah, I'm like, I'm having trouble understanding everything. But nobody was, it wasn't, yeah, I still have it. And you need at least three players on that. So it's just sitting there rotting away. Perfection, which I see a lot of people post on the nostalgia stuff where it's just like the reason why we have nervous disorders because of like stuff like that, like Operation Perfection and what was the other one? Well, it's like Don't Wake Daddy. Is like anything that you had to, there was like a timer or you had to be very, very careful with touching anything or doing anything, and then the whole thing just goes off. So you have like, so we have nervous problems. Titanic. There was a board game for the movie, but there was one that was just was Titanic, and it didn't have like the characters from the movie. This was just straight up a Titanic game, which I've played it. My friend had it. I never had it. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a great game, and I kind of want to get it for myself, to be honest. But isn't it kind of morbid to have a board game about that? You know. You know how the game ends? I don't really know. When I saw it, I was like, oh my god, there's a board game about the Titanic? That's interesting. But yeah, it was a good game, though. It had a lot of, like, elements in there where you had to get through, like, the boat and stuff happening, obviously. So I only played it once, and it was over at my friend's house because, like I said, I never had it. But I think there was, like, a huge... There was, besides the fact that James Cameron with the whole Titanic thing anyway, it brought a lot of interest back into the whole myth and legend that is Titanic, you know, like even though it's not a myth or a legend, but it's just like the lore and stuff. People were getting interested in it again and what happened and the story and the tragedy. So I guess they felt the need to make a board game as well. But like I said, I enjoyed playing it. Another one was Crocodile Dennis. That was something that my brother had gotten along with the Tornado Rex and Gooey Louie. Oh, and Mr. Bucket. That was the other one where you're having to put stuff inside the bucket as it like shoots it out. So it's for little kids. You're not necessarily, there's not a whole lot of stuff going involved in it. But I played a lot because my brother was smaller. So I was like, okay, I know these. Dream Phone. Never had it. My friend has it, and you look at the guys on there. Of course, it's very 90s, and you know the phone in general is dated. I wonder if they were to ever. I don't even know if they did, but I wonder if they were to update that, and if that is something that they would do, and how would it be? Would it? Because it's like, would it be a dating app? Is that what this would be at this point? And it's just an application on your phone that you have to call up and you have certain things happen. I know they had like a dating board game for the 80s as well that actually came with a cassette tape. And So, yeah. Mm-hmm. I never had that. It's Dream Phone. I think at the time, especially when I was younger, when I was playing board games and stuff, and I wasn't that, you know, guy crazy, and I was just like, you know, this seems stupid. You know, like, what is the point of this game? You know, and like I said, and I think this is something that I've continually said in my podcast and in my blogs, like I wasn't like a popular kid or person or whatever. And I never really thought I was ever going to have any type of relationship while I was in school, at least. And really, I really thought like ever. I just thought I was just like, I'm just doomed to be this ugly person that nobody wants to be with. So I just was meh. So Dream Phone kind of like, it kind of played into that, those things that I, you know, I hated about myself. So I'm like, I don't want to, this isn't something I would want to play. It just makes me depressed. So I know that's kind of sad, but whatever. It's okay. I'm fine. Everything's fine. Everything's fine as I say that. And Splat, another one. So I liked Play-Doh. I loved playing with Play-Doh throughout. I would still play with it, actually, if I had it. And I know we all ate some of it, too. It was very salty, right? So Splat was, you had these characters that were made out of Play-Doh, and if you got to a certain point and you got this thing and your character would just get splatted I think we had it. I think the actual Play-Doh that it came with just dried up. I know you can just go and buy some new Play-Doh. It didn't really matter. But yeah, so again, that was kind of like a almost like a mousetrap type of thing. And I think we only had that for a short time. We lost a lot of the pieces because my brother would play with it. I would play with some stuff too, and that's why we lost some pieces to things, kind of like anything that's Monopoly. So we had iterations like a Scooby-Doo Monopoly, and my brother absolutely loved Scooby-Doo. So he would play with the metal, because they were like special edition, like metal characters, and some of them would get lost or broken. So that's why we still have some, but I have like notes on them saying like, this character is missing, or this card, or the money, some of the money is missing. So I replaced some things that I just made it myself so that we could put it in there, because I'm not buying a whole new thing when it's only like maybe one little thing that really makes no difference. You can still play it. So like a card for one of the properties, I'll just have like a piece of cardboard that I made and wrote the name or whatever, and how much the house would be and how much rent would be if you had these many houses, and how much it would cost for if it was mortgaged, blah blah blah, you know, stuff like that. So we have ones that have like makeshift stuff in it because we lost like a piece or two. 1313 Dead End Drive. Now, I had this game, and it was called 1313 Dead End Drive. I told my son about it, and I was like, we should get this game. It's actually pretty fun. It's a kind of like really no too much thought other than just, you know, planning how to get your character out of the house before they're caught. The setup is always the longest part because you're setting up all these traps to kill off these characters in this. However, when I was looking it up to get this game, because I actually got it for him for Christmas this past Christmas, and it's called 13 Dead End Drive. So what happened to the other 13? Now, my assumption for the reasoning why they called it this was because it's the unlucky number of 13, right? So you had 1313 Dead End Drive, which makes it just, I don't know, like, why is it just 13 Dead End Drive now? Like, what happened? Why did they change it? Because you can find the original that says 13. This isn't like a Mandela effect or anything. That they actually legitimately have it out there. Because you can find it on eBay to purchase the original thingies. So, okay, so the board game 13 Dead End Drive changed its name to 1313 Dead End Drive in 2022. Or the other way around, excuse me. Due to licensing agreement between Winning Move Games and the original game developer Milton Bradley, and to avoid trademark issues. So 13 Dead End Drive, I'm so confused because it's saying that 1313 Dead End Drive is an updated version. So that's weird. That it says 13 Dead End Drive came out in 1993 and it followed in 2002 by a spinoff of 1313 Dead End Drive. But you cannot find a 1313 Dead End Drive. So I feel like that's, maybe I am Mandela affecting, I don't friggin' know, but there is two different names, but I'm fairly positive that the original one that we had was called 1313 Dead End Drive. I have no one to back me up on this because my mom, who doesn't have the memory anymore, cannot help me out here. And I don't know if my brother would remember. So, and I've only told Bryce about it under the name 1313 Dead End Drive. So he would already have like a biased view on our memory for that. So I'm confused. So you tell me, was it 1313 Dead End Drive or 13 Dead End Drive? What do you remember? Okay, it doesn't matter. I have 13 Dead End Drive. I don't care. The game itself is exactly the same. So I don't know. But they're both names are legitimate. So it's just, it's not like it's never existed. It's not like a Berenstain Bears thing or something if you're into Mandela Effect stuff. Maybe I should talk about that if you're interested in that. I don't know. I'm not entirely sold on all of that anyway. There's some things that, you know, because we remember things because things were said to us in some way, and it just might have been incorrect the way it was. I don't know how we recall it. I don't know. That's an idea for future. So has anybody played Omega Virus? That came out in the 90s, and we had it, and it was really, it had an electronic feature on it. And you are trying to, like, there's a virus spreading and you're having to cure it in the, let me, hold on. I'm going to look up the actual premise of this, but I remember playing this. Okay, so the game Omega Virus is a cooperative sci-fi board game where players act as commandos aboard the space station Battlesat 1. The station has been infiltrated by the Omega Virus, a deadly nanorobotic virus, and players must work together to find and destroy it before it turns the station's weapons on Earth. So it has a computer. You explored the station. You collect access cards, red, yellow, blue, and weapons, Negatron, Decoder, and Disruptor, all of which you must find in order to locate and destroy the Omega Virus. The Battlesat pleads for help, and the virus taunts as you try to locate which rooms the virus is hiding. So it's a cool game. I don't know what happened to our board game. It's just gone. It vanished into the nothingness. You can find it on eBay, but it's very expensive. So I'm very like saddened that that's how expensive it is, because I don't know if I want to spend that much money on a board game. I know there are really expensive board games out there right now, especially ones that have like that you can create the characters and paint them. Like, you're getting like very intricate with these things, and I'm like, listen, I just want to play a game. But yeah, so it's expensive for because I was telling Bryce about it, and he's like, I want to play that. And I'm like, I know, right? It's a cool game. And I'm like, let me see if eBay has it. And of course eBay has it. It's just dependent upon like how many are out there. How much is this person wanting to sell this for? So maybe I'll find it for cheaper at some point in time. But, you know, by that time, it's already a retro. It's classified as like a retro game. Oh, my God. Anyway, so Omega Virus, that was cool. Now, do you remember the commercial for Crossfire? I think I might have mentioned this in my commercial podcast. I have to go back, because I'm going to do a part two for that as well. I have to just go back and see what I actually discussed. It was more for the commercial and the song. We actually had it. I don't think we played it that much, but it was just because the commercial was like, Crossfire. You got it for the commercial. That is great marketing, to be honest. So, yeah. So the other thing we had was iterations of stuff. Like I said, we had multiple different versions of Clue, Monopoly, well, Life. Life, we only had like the special edition ones. We had like the metal special edition that we had that you could get that had the metal cars and a 3D with hills and stuff. Like we still have it, and it's still the metal box it came in kind of got bent because it was in underneath stuff, so I've kind of fixed it, so now, but it looks funky. But yeah, we would get the different iterations. So we have a Doctor Who version of Monopoly. We have I think it's the Doctor Who of Clue, and then we have a Beatles version of Monopoly or Clue or both, I don't know. And we have The Simpsons and the Scooby-Doo one. The other one we had is called Triopoly, which isn't technically Monopoly. So the Triopoly game is a three-dimensional game of buying and building cities. So it takes its inspiration from Monopoly, but it offers innovations such as three nestable boards, explicit gambling, and a property improvement type, which does not require a Monopoly. So you don't have to have everything in order for you to be able to improve on the property. So, and it has three levels. We have it. I still have it. However, I believe we're missing a good portion of like the cards, because you have like these travel cards and stock market cards, the buildings. So we're missing like a little bit too much to actually play it properly. But I do have it. I don't know if anybody has actually played it. They have it on Amazon for none too expensive, you're interested. But yeah, that actually came out in the 90s. And okay, so the game was invented in 1989, and it was a drawing inspiration from the five-hour game of Monopoly and the tri-dimensional chess game they seen on Star Trek. But the game actually came out published in 1997. So they invented it in 89, didn't actually come out till 97, and it actually was named the best game by Good Housekeeping in Games World of Puzzles. So if you've played it or not, that it was a pretty cool game. If you like Monopoly, that you'll like this, and it gives you a little bit more out of it than Monopoly would give you. Although Monopoly, like, yeah, because Monopoly can take forever, especially have you, depending on how many people you have. So the other iteration, which came out in 2000, so a little after, obviously, but there was the .com version of Monopoly. So you have GeoCities and Yahoo. So, like, pretty much taking its references from all the new stuff that the internet was providing. So Monopoly, as it does, updating to go along with the current state of the nation and, you know, whatever's going on at the time. Still having, obviously, the original, they had the properties in there, but they added, like I said, Yahoo and GeoCities, and I don't know if they, Google wasn't out yet at the time, or was it? I don't even say that. Oh, no, they had Google, 98. So, yeah, there was, like, all these different, it had all the .com stuff. So, you look at it now, and it's nostalgic now, but that was all, like, that was all supposed to be trending stuff at the time. So, they have new things out. They have, like, the Cheaters Edition out now for Monopoly. And I'll go into a lot of the newer things now because, like I said, we have a good-sized collection of board games. And I would like to do a part two and like to have Bryce come on to talk about it because he and I both like them. And we can kind of go into, like, the intricacies and how much more it can be than just rather than the roll of the die and just, you know, doing, like, Sorry and stuff like that. You know, there's these games that have so much more, like, interplay with it, a more thought-provoking, you know, I don't know. Just there's sometimes you just want to have a basic game, and I totally understand that, but sometimes you're like, you know, let's play a game, you know. So that's what I have written down, and there's, like, so many. Oh, and they also have the other iterations of Battleship and Scrabble. They have I think there's a Monopoly Scrabble, or is that just online? I can't remember, but we have there's an electronic Battleship that I have. I think that was, like, the early 2000s when I bought that, and I love Battleship. I have that on the PlayStation as well that you can play with other players. Yeah, Battleship was probably, like, one of my main go-to games that I would play a lot. Yeah, very much so. That, and I loved 13 Dead End Drive, or 1313 Dead End Drive, depending upon what you remember. And I loved playing all the card games with my dad. What did you guys play when you did Family Game Night, if you had Family Game Night? I used to play with my brother. We'd play War or Old Maid. We would play. We would play Jax. Yeah, we were very much into card games. So I think it was mainly because of my dad, because that's what he mainly liked to play. And again, I don't think he ever actually played a board game with us. But we would always, you know, my mom, my brother, and myself. And if we had people over, we would play a board game. It was fun, always fun. And I do miss that. Like, I get it. A little bit with my son, and we get to play the board games, but it is nicer when you have, like, a couple of people or other family members or whatever. It's just a nice time to get together and just have a little fun, you know? And I get the whole party games, like, you know, Trivial Pursuit and Pictionary and whatever the newer ones that are out now that they, I know, Cards Against Humanity, a huge thing. Having party games, obviously, they're fun because you're already out, you're at a party, you want to have fun as it is, and that's just a nice little addition to gain some other stuff with people and camaraderie, obviously. I do miss that. Not that we had a lot of people over all of the time, but we had, like, family during, you know, birthdays, holidays, or just some visits sometimes, and we would play. Not all the time, but, you know, it was nice, and I do miss that. So besides having your Blockbuster night, consider having a family game night as well. No television, or you could have. See, I say that. But Bryce and I will put something on YouTube on, but it's usually just somebody playing it. Either, like, a reactionary thing. So I don't know if you guys are that much into, like, YouTube stuff, but they have, like, you have, like, Drew Gooden or Markiplier, who will play other games, but, or Jacksepticeye, or even John Wolfe, or that's the one that I was watching for my, like, Urban Legends and stuff, where he does debunking of ghost clips and stuff. Or, like, if you watch, like, Nuke's Top 5 or Slapped Ham and stuff like that on there, where you just watch It's literally just a collection of people sending in clips of possible ghost sightings and or weird circumstances. And I've watched them with my mom, like, so Nuke's Top 5 and Slab Tam, I watched them independently before I even watched anything, like, by anybody else. And I would sit there and be like, it's like, you put these in here saying that it's a possible ghost sighting, and I'm like, is it, though? Is it? Like I said, I do believe in ghosts. I do believe that there's something else, but it's not going to be to the degree that these clips. There are some clips where I'm like, that's interesting. But I still have a sense of like, and I've had my own, stuff happen. But anyway, that was in the urban legends thing. So maybe I can go into like some stuff that I had happened to me over the years about that. That'd be something else I can discuss. Trying to, like I said, expand this and keep it interesting instead of it just being all nostalgic stuff, although that I know a lot of people are very much into that. And don't worry, that's not going to stop. And I think what I want to do is just interweave it with other stuff, you know? So yeah, the 80s and 90s board games, there was a lot. And this was just like scratching the surface of things. Like, I didn't realize Catan came out in the 90s. I felt like that was an older game, but no, that came out in the 90s. I never played Dream Phone, but I knew about it. Titanic, I still think that's a little weird to do a board game about an infamous boat sinking and a lot of people losing their life over, but okay. I have played it. Crossfire, if you didn't buy it because of the commercial, why were you buying it? Yeah, there was a board games are pretty much a staple in my household, regardless of as I grew up and up and very much real right now. Like we're actually discussing about whatever the heck board game we're gonna play tonight. I think it was the most recent one that we got was Starry Sky, I believe. It's called Starry Night Sky, and it's by Buffalo Games, and it's actually pretty cool where you're having to collect stars to create constellations, and whoever can create, like, they get the point. It's a point system. So it's interesting. It's different. Most board games have like a basis, you're just trying to get to the end of something or to get the amount of points, whatever. But there's so many games out. There's like board games. There are just so many. And I didn't know that until Bryce actually was really getting into them. He's like, it started off with Catan. And then he's like, do you know that there's a Fallout board game? Did you know there's this game Scythe that, he took forever for? That game's $80, I think, Scythe. But that was like a special birthday gift for him. Currently $84. So, but yeah, that's a very good. If you're into like strategy games, not so much role playing on its own, it's just more of, I only paid $60 for it, so I think that was on sale, so it actually went up in price, but I only paid $60. But that was, I bought this 4 years ago. Yeah, it was a Christmas gift. But yeah, they have some really awesome games out now, board games, so have a look and see, just beyond the Monopoly, beyond the Game of Life. Now, these are all games I love. Clue is one of my favorite games. I love Clue. But there are so many really cool other cool games out there besides. So I would highly recommend, if you're into board games and you want to expand a little, check them out. And like I said, part two will come out for the newer games, and then maybe you can get some inspiration off of that. So yeah, that's really all I had. A family game night kind of coincides with the Blockbuster nights as well. And when I get my other one done that I had to, I'm going to have to re-record at some point. When I'm not so angry. That's what Bryce said. He's like, why don't you just do a different one? Because you're just going to get angry and not interested in what you're talking about if you have to do it all again. And he's right. So I was like, okay, fine. I have all these. I already had all these. I actually have like three more that I already outlined out. I have to outline the rest of them out. So I'm up to date and on a roll. Actually, I had 43 followers on Spotify, and now I'm back down to 42, which is fine. 42 is the answer to life, everything in the universe, so cool. when you only have like a small amount at the moment, when you're seeing people like you know, adding you and you're like, this is awesome. And then somebody takes it away and you're like, oh my God, what did I do? But I understand you can't really be like that. You can't appease everybody, or maybe you're just, you know, you're not their cup of tea, and that's totally fine. Or what I'm talking about isn't interesting. Fine. That's cool. But I'm trying to be consistent. I understand that in the very beginning when I started to do this, it was kind of like on and off. I was like, doing it for a stretch of time, then stopping, then I was doing it, and then I was stopping, and then I was like, I'm just gonna keep doing it, and I stop, and I'd stop for a while. But now I'm like, I'm trying to keep it going. Like I said, I edit and record on a Saturday, although today is a Sunday because I messed up the recording yesterday. But hey, I got this recorded, so it's all good. So I hope you're enjoying these, and please leave a comment on Spotify or YouTube for, you know, any recommendations or answers, or just saying, hey, you know, whatever. I will respond, but yeah, anything that you'd like, maybe hear about my perspective from when I was growing up for something that you went through. I don't know, just anything. I'd be interested. Give me some ideas. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. I love board games. Absolutely love them. So I enjoyed like going back and looking at when I was surprised at some of the ones that actually did get created and invented and published out in the 80s and 90s. And a lot of the ones that I absolutely love were ones that came out those times. And that makes sense because that's when I was alive and playing those games. But obviously we have our staples. We have our Battleship, our Scrabble. We have Monopoly, we have Clue, and the Game of Life. That they're all going to be pretty much, I think they're a mainstay. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope you check out the rest of them. I'm coming up to almost 50 episodes. I might do something special for the 50th. This is going to be my 47th episode. Yeah. So the 50th episode, I'll figure something out. I'll do something. I don't know. If you have any ideas, let me know, but I'm going to think about it. So, yeah, make sure you like, follow, subscribe, depending on where you're at. Check out the website, www.gabriellecataldi.com, and it's Gabrielle, GABRIELLECATALDI. I don't know if anybody knows. Like, it says my name on, I think, on the Spotify thing. And if you already came from the website, you know already, so... So, make sure you like, subscribe. I appreciate that, and follow the Spotify. And if you unfollow it, that's fine. I'm not going to be mad. I just often wonder, I'm like, what did I do? I'm sorry. But yeah, that's it. I hope you enjoyed. Thank you so much for listening. This is That 80s Child, the Generation Y. And my name is Gabrielle. And I will talk to you in the next episode. Thank you. Bye.